Whole Bible for admissions info for Conservative Theological University. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these three stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted to have with us today on Let's Face the Issues the School Board District 1 candidate, Tony Ricardo. Tony is with us. We're discussing his candidacy and what it means when he's elected to be in that seat of District 1 representing us in Duval County. I believe we have, by the way, let me give you that telephone number. Sometimes I get busy and forget to remind you. That telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Your telephone call goes right through to the studios, right to our microphone so that we can entertain your questions, comments, dialogue, and discussion on the issue. We're talking about today, every vote counts. And I believe we have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go ahead with the question or comment, please.
Yes, sir, Dr. Youngblood. How are you all doing?
Doing great. I pray that you are.
Yes, and I just wanted to say, Mr. Tony, I'm voting for you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yes, sir.
Spread the word. Everybody in your telephone system, send them a text.
That's right.
Vote for Tony Ricardo. That's the way we get the grassroots effort to be carried out.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood.
Yes.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask a couple of questions, and I'm going to get off the line.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. When Benjamin Netanyahu came, I think, to the House and made a speech, Kamala Harris went to her sorority or whatever. And when she goes to pro-Hamas rallies, that let me know that she is anti-American, definitely. And like you said before, she's going to take, I'm a senior citizen, she's going to take our benefits and let that border stay open and bring his people over here and take care of them instead of American citizens that worked all their life, put their money in Social Security, and just don't give a darn about us.
You're exactly right. In fact, with Kamala Harris, most are not aware of the fact that during the course of the BLM riots that tried to burn the nation down when the election was taking place in 2020, Kamala Harris set up a fund and gathered dollars. I've forgotten how many millions and millions of dollars, so that anybody that was arrested for trying to burn a building or trying to shoot a police officer, she would pay their bond to get them out so that they would not be prosecuted for the crime. Kamala Harris is anti-America, anti-God, anti-anything that we would call biblical. In fact, I'm looking at a headline. Kamala Harris doesn't want any Christian to be judges. She hates what we believe as Christians. And that's exactly the bottom line. And she is pro-Hamas. She is anti-America, and she has no problem with the witnessing and watching what took place with the riots in D.C., where they were destroying monuments, burning American flags, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. She has no problem with things like that because she is anti-American, and she will say anything or do anything to get elected. That's the reason, Kenneth, We need to recognize people like Tony Ricardo that's running from a Christian conservative base to have a difference in our educational system in Duval County. Why that is so vital, why that is important to us as Christians, as believers, as conservatives, that we need to start at the rudimentary, fundamental, foundational basis right here in Duval County of getting things straight with those that are in office that represent us. Go ahead again.
Okay. A real reporter interviewed Miss Harris, I call her Smiley, and asked her, has she ever been to the border? She said, yes. And he said, you lying. And she said that I never been to Paris, you know.
And well, Kamala Harris wouldn't know how to find the border if you gave her a map and a GPS monitor to get her there. She would get lost in doing so. No, she is the worst case scenario for the United States of America. But going back to our election system, all elections start locally. So it's what we do in our local elections. City Council, for example, that'll come up next year, what we're doing now for the school board, what we're doing for the amendments that are on the ballot for the state of Florida for November the 5th. We need to sit up, stand up, be heard, and be seen as Christians and as conservatives. So, Kenneth, thank you so much for your input. Thank you for your stand on voting for Tony. And let others know that we need to do the same thing.
Amen.
Thank you so much and have a blessed day. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. We're interviewing Tony Ricardo today. Tony is the school district school board, Duval County School Board District 1 candidate. Tony, we left off with a basic thought before the news break. And I think I've asked this question, so I'll reiterate it. What do you see as the greatest problem, the greatest issues, not just problems, but the greatest issues facing Duval County school system? What are just number one, two, three. What are the greatest issues in descending order? Number one, number two, and number three. What do you view them to be?
I would say the first one is the classroom, student classroom behavior issue, or I call it security issue, student behavior. So much hinges on that. For instance, that's one of the biggest reasons why teachers leave, not the pay. And so that's one of the reasons also that parents pull their kids and send them to other schools. Mm-hmm. Most parents don't realize it, but the money follows the child quarter.
That's right.
So if you send them to a charter school, you're just pulling them from the public school system, pulling the money with them, sending it to charter school. So we have to do a better job there. Second, teacher retention. We have to do a better job of keeping good teachers. It takes too long to train a teacher, and then just to lose them within 2 years, it's a very high turnover rate. Most teachers leave because of the classroom situation and because of lack of support from administration. And the last one would be transparency with the budget.
Talk about the budget for a minute. Let me just ask a rhetorical question. Do we have enough money in the school budget? Or is it not the amount of money, but the way it's spent? What is the problem?
I believe it's the way it's spent, because obviously we just had two tax increases over the last 4 years.
That's right.
And those were supposed to take care of all the issues, even if you factored in the higher cost of construction. We shouldn't be that far behind. Most all the projects are coming in at over 100% over their budget. And you know, we have a project over in District 1 that had to be put on hold because frankly they ran out of money. They didn't want to go deeper in the hole. Part of the problem too, I think, was that the COVID relief money was looked at as a bottomless pit, like part of the budget. It would never end. It ended. You know, so there's a lot of problems, and we really don't know where all the money went. There's not been an outside audit, which
not
we
been
probably
an outside
should
audit,
do that.
And I think there needs to be a forensic audit of the accounting of the school board dollars. I think it's an absolute crying shame, if I can use that little simplified term, for a teacher to have to out of pocket buy supplies and material for the students in her classroom to teach when we've got the budget. Do you know the size of the budget for Duval County School System?
$2.7 billion,
$2.7 billion. And how many students do we have?
Which is bigger than the city.
Yes. What is the number of students?
130, I think.
About 130. $100,000.
Yeah.
So what we're spending, if I can do a quick calculation, and I'm not a mathematician, we're spending about $14,000 per student.
Yeah, that'd be about right.
School.
Yeah.
And that is almost at the level of what you'd call college-level tuition.
Education, and they're not getting it.
And they're not getting it.
Right.
We are near the bottom on an international scale with the academic system that we have in America.
Well, just in Florida, with the other similar sized counties, we're not doing very well.
Bottom of the totem pole,
yeah.
If I could use it that way.
Not doing well.
I believe we have Terry on the line. Terry, go ahead with your question or comment, please. Terry, are you there? I reckon we lost Terry. We'll go ahead with the conversation. Tony, with that being said, what is the plan that you would have in mind that how you would approach the problem? For example, you discussed the problem that teachers are leaving because of the situation in the classroom. I call it the chaos, confusion, and calamity taking place in the classroom. How would you address that? What do you propose to do that would help mitigate that or stop that?
Well, we have to take a look at, you know, obviously there's other systems, school systems right next to us that are doing a much better job of it. I think it'd be a good idea to look at what they're doing different.
Mm-hmm.
If what we're doing is not working, obviously we got to change something. So taking a look at the school student discipline handbook and the codes, actually administering justice, not restorative justice necessarily, but holding kids accountable for their actions. You know, there's so many kids that just keep on doing the same old thing because there's no consequence to their activity. You know, and if they're disruptive, the teacher cannot get the student out fast enough.
Well, Tony, you might disagree with this, you might agree, but let me just bounce it off of you. The dollars that go into charter schools, the charter school is literally a privately held public school system.
That's right.
It's still public school, still answerable to the school board from the standpoint, but the independent owners and operators of the charter schools can expel a student.
Yes.
And you do not see the expulsion taking place in the public schools.
Right.
They simply might put them in the library for a day to sit in the corner, right, as the old cliche goes, with a dunce hat
on. In-school suspension. Yeah.
But in-school suspension. It doesn't do anything from the standpoint of modifying the behavior of that child.
Right.
So there needs to be teeth in the system that says to a parent, if you've got a child that wants to threaten the teacher, spit at the teacher, throw something at the teacher, or disobey the teacher, that student needs to be put on his head,
right,
on his heels, and not allowed back into school.
And of course, you know, you handle younger kids in the grade school system would be handled differently. You know, restorative justice is kind of a take on what I used to do as a parenting class. We had a class called Growing Kids God's Way,
mm-hmm,
where you confront the child that is in the wrong and show them that how they're affecting their offended brother or sister, and they have to make amends and restore the relationship, which is fine. But then there comes a point where a young child will grow into an older child, and that lack of discipline, if it's not checked, they'll just keep on doing the same thing and just mouth the words, "Oh, I'm sorry."
That's right. Well, it's what Dr. James Dobson, as you perhaps have heard, he calls it tough love.
Yes,
love the child, love the student, but be
hate
tough.
The sin.
And that's right. Love the child, hate the sin. Tough love that says you're going to be responsible for what you do.
That's right.
And you can't cut
and
in
there's
and disrupt
a consequence.
The class. A consequence.
It doesn't matter what your intention was.
Consequences.
If you did something wrong, you know, there's a price to pay somewhere. If you take something from little Johnny over there, then you have to put it back and restore it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I believe we have Terry on the line. Terry, go over to your question or comment, please.
I'm sorry, I got lost before, but I wanted to ask the question about security in the Duval schools. And with what's going on right now, I never taught my kids to fight, but being in certain cities, they have to learn how to fight. But now we got certain children in the schools that have been trained with their bare hands to take one of our children out. And, you know, I was wondering, because they're taught at a very young age, and does this do, yes, especially, it's a war out there now. And I wonder if what is going to be done in regard to security for guns, knives, any kind of metal,
right,
for the kids,
well,
in school.
Thank you for that question, Terry.
Thank
Tony,
you.
Would you respond to that?
Yes. Yeah, so a lot of the schools that are going through the master facilities improvements are being hardened. So what that means is that they're harder to get into from the outside. Mm-hmm. They're more secure campuses. The problem is that you have a lot of kids inside doing the bullying. Mm-hmm. And so when we talk about security, there's all different types of security. It's the classroom security. You got the school campus security. We have a separate police force, but it's undermanned right now. And there's argument that the school police don't do an adequate job under Dr. Green, the last superintendent. There was a lot of cover-up of
total
crimes
yes.
that were actually taking place on school campuses. But because reporting those crimes officially, they end up on assessor report or something like that. They end up degrading the school's grade. So if it looks bad,
they don't want to do it.
Yeah, they don't want to do it, obviously, because they, you know, it makes the school look bad, and it reduces their grade.
Mm-hmm. Well, Tony, going back to the security aspect and answering a little different approach from as I perceive it from Terry's question, I believe we have a twofold security aspect of it. That is the perimeter security, so
yes.
we harden it so that somebody can't walk in off the street and walk in. And secondly, the question was about having weapons in the schools, and with our present police security system, as you said so clearly, it is a cover-up more than it is policing. I believe we need to go back to the JSO being responsible for all of our schools, having certified JSO officers in every one of the schools, do away with the school police, which is was designed, utilized by Dr. Green to simply cover up crime that was taking place.
Right.
Rapes under the stairwells in the school buildings, students with weapons, knives, guns,
drugs,
et cetera,
charges.
As Terry was talking about, and yet it wouldn't be written up as such, so the school would still get a grade A, B, or C rather than a D or F
right.
For that particular school. I believe we need to stop that fiasco of covering up crime and make the student and the student's parents responsible for that student's behavior in the classroom.
Yes, absolutely.
It goes back to less than 100 years ago when I was in school.
Yes.
When I was in school, the teacher had the responsibility, if I misbehaved, to wear me out.
Right.
And if I went home and my mother found out that I'd gotten a spanking,
times
I get
two.
Another spanking
yep.
at home. So the teachers had a responsibility that they were operated on the basis that we're going to make that child behave so we can teach that child. So we have changed God's law, God's plan, God's principle for a child being submissive and obedient to a parent or the parent and
yeah.
authority.
Yeah.
And as a result of that, we're reaping the whirlwind today.
Yes.
I believe we have Derby on the line. Derby, go over with the question or comment, please.
Yes, I'm glad that Tony thinks that Dr. Grenier seems like he's going to be a good guy. And I agree that Dr. Green was just a politically correct good for nothing. But I like to say that the problem with the decay of the Duval County school system has been around for years. It wasn't just
yes.
Dr. Green.
Yeah.
I began teaching at FJC, Florida Junior College, in 1968. And I noticed that then we had to have a lot of remedial English and math classes for the students who were graduated from Duval County Public Schools who were not really ready for college level courses. They had to take these non-credit remedial English classes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And but one thing I have to say about 50 years ago when I was teaching, that the students were well behaved. And as I neared my retirement in 2006, these students were not only not prepared, but also I had
poorly
discipline
behaved.
Problems. I didn't have any discipline problems when I started teaching, but yes, when I retired.
Right. So those are my experiences also. I quit in 92 again because of several incidents at the public high school. And these are things that, you know, for the most part, the kids were reasonably well behaved, but it got worse just in the next 2 years from 90 to 92. And, you know, I've just seen it get worse and worse and worse as kids are not held accountable, not made to understand how they affect other people around them. And that's part of the problem. When, you know, if you're the center of the universe, Nobody else cares.
Nobody else cares. Nobody else counts.
And nobody else matters.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know, and so it's a very selfish worldview, I think, that's pervasive now that wasn't there necessarily, you know, as a huge thing back in the day.
Tony, let me ask you a question. Debbie, do you have any other thoughts, comments, or questions?
Well, I'd like to say that it is not the teacher's responsibility to just teach, or they cannot make the students do the homework. It is the parents
who need
to make students study. And so you cannot say teachers don't teach well because students don't learn. They don't learn because they don't study. If they were to study, they'd do great.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Then there's got to be, if I can jump in the midst of the conversation, there seems to me then there needs to be an incentive. What is that incentive, in your view, Tony, if the problem is not that the teachers are not doing a good job teaching, the students are not learning, because they're not studying, because there's no reinforcement at home.
Right.
So what is your view of the cause and effect there?
You know, for me, it was a love of learning. It was instilled in when I was real small. I can remember just loving to eat up books.
Yes.
I loved to just read. Rainy day activities would be reading the encyclopedia, which was our internet back in the day.
That's right.
And so people called me a nerd for that, but I just enjoyed learning about different things, and it was just something that was instilled. And I think that a lot of kids who don't get that probably have not been shown much attention, or possibly not shown that, you know, learning can be an enjoyable experience. It's not a chore.
And Derby, I think that I can jump into this and let you go. But one of the problems that I see is that we have so many fatherless homes.
Yes.
Where there's no dad, there's no father authority, and the mothers cannot control the child at home. And I've seen too many parents that have the philosophy that little yellow school bus is designed to pick you up, get you off my back, bring you back home at 4 o'clock. You sit the balance of the afternoon working at your handheld device, as it's now called, mm-hmm. and that becomes the babysitter rather than the parent having the responsibility and the authority to direct that child. It goes back to a scriptural concept: train up a child the way he should go. When he's old, he'll not have departed from
it.
And the Hebrew transliteration of that text: train up a child the way he should go, not that he wants to go, then when he shall have become old, he will not have departed from it. Goes back to the fundamental responsibility of parents in the home of training that child to be obedient, subject to authority in the home and in the classroom. And the teacher cannot teach a classroom where the student are not paying attention, not wanting to be there, and throwing things at the teacher and causing the teacher to be in a position of great harm and danger physically. This is the bottom line reason, in my opinion, that we have teachers that are leaving the educational system every day across America. It's the reason we have such a national teacher shortage is that. And there's no real short, curt, direct answer that will resolve that, but it goes back to the home, goes back to the family, goes back to the Word of God, goes back to the need to get back to God and God's Word. Derby, thank you so much for your call.
Thanks, Derby.
God bless you. Keep looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. We're talking with Tony Ricardo. Tony is the prospective candidate. He is the one that I think is the best candidate for School Board District 1 for Duval County School Board. Tony, let's take a break for just a moment. Change gears. How can our listeners intervene and assist you to assure your election for this school board position?
Well, number one, get involved. Find the facts. Study your candidates, obviously. And I don't tell people to vote for me just because I'm telling you to vote for me. Go find out what the other side is proposing to do.
Briefly, take a moment and digress. What is your opponent? What are some of the game plans, goal plans, or what are their positions?
Well, she's arguably a very accomplished teacher, math teacher. Her big deal is the implementation of games to teach math in elementary school. However, there's problems with who's supporting her and her views. Dr. Diane Green is one of her proponents.
That tells it all.
That should tell you everything. So if you want more of what we had, then you would vote for my opponent. If you want some change and some new insight from a different point of view, then that would be me, a conservative point of view. So, that's it in a nutshell.
That's it. Well, tell us how people can reach you, reach out to you. How can they assist you?
Yeah.
Getting out signs, talking, calling, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes.
Tell us how they can assist you to win the election.
Number one, get out and vote. It's August the 20th, or early voting starts August the 5th. And I'm so disappointed sometimes. Now, I go to churches a lot and find out that only 40% of the people in the church are registered to vote.
Mm-hmm.
And only 15% of them will actually go out and vote.
Mm-hmm.
And so we whine and complain a lot as Christians, throw pillows at the TV when we see stuff that doesn't go our way. But if you don't get out and vote, you really have no grounds to complain.
That's right.
You got to make the change. So as I've heard Dr. Jeffries say it at a conference, it's not so much that we're not salt or light. We just got to get out of the shaker.
That's right.
So
absolutely.
Let's get out of the shaker and go hit the polls. You can also hit me up at my campaign if you'd like. And we'll have sign waving. We'll have campaign events. Time's short right now, so we're putting it in overdrive for the last stretch. And I'd also like to put a plug in for one of my campaign helpers is Raymond Johnson,
Raymond.
Biblical Concept Ministries.
Yes, Raymond's a good guy. I'm thankful.
He's a great guy, and I've known him for probably 18 years, maybe. And he's got a voter guide.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're inclined, get some of his voter guides, hand them out at church.
Yes,
these are biblical candidates, mm-hmm, that have taken a pledge to uphold biblical concepts.
Amen.
And get those spread out.
Yes. I believe we have a call on the line. Kevin, quickly,
absolutely,
our time is about out for today, but take a moment, Kevin.
Yeah, I'd like to thank Tony Ricardo for taking his time to come on. And a real quick question. I know you don't have a lot of time, but there's a Florida House Bill 7055 that requires every public school building in Florida to display in a conspicuous place the state motto, "In God We Trust."
Yeah, so I'm familiar with that.
Yeah,
it's not
that those are in our schools. And I would like them to be there, of course, because I believe that God is first, and God can take care of all the problems that we have in these schools, first and foremost.
Kevin, if I could jump in for the sake of time, Kevin, you're exactly right. Kimberly Daniels introduced that bill, and it was passed in 2018 or 2019. It's been ignored by our school boards across the state of Florida for the most part, and I believe it needs to be reinforced, and every school principal needs to be required to place that "In God We Trust" over the schoolhouse doors,
to accountability,
which is required by laws. Again,
yep,
goes back to accountability.
Yep.
So, Kevin, you're exactly right. If a child sees "In God We Trust," it will place in their minds that there's God overlooking what we're doing and need to be obedient. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been talking with Tony Ricardo today, School Board District 1 candidate. I pray that you will vote for Tony and put him in office to represent us for our kids and our grandkids for Duval County Schools. Tony, again, thank you for
thank
being
you so
with
much
us
for
today.
Having me. It's
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as, once again, we face the issues.
You've been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. The Florida Georgia Truth Network, on the air in St. Nicholas at 91.7.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that is MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save many families.